orders, and they didn't say anything of the kind. But the media cover-up, is this going to enable Biden to actually get away with this stupid bill?
Well, they're trying their best. They're pulling out all the media stops, and the usual suspects are all on board. David Brooks said over the weekend that, you know, inflation is what we need in this country to get it going again. I mean, people are getting crazy in trying to defend the indefensible. And as for the Nobel laureates, my sense of what they said is that they distinguished in the long run from the short run. And in the short run, everybody pretty much agrees there will be more inflation because you're pumping money into the supply, into the demand side of the supply-demand cycle. And so more people wanting the same thing drives up prices. That's inflation. When you get these extra hot markets, whether it's for skateboards or houses or gasoline, you get a rise in prices. It's not always gouging. It's that it's free market. That's capitalism. And that's how it works. And so if you keep pumping money into those who are going to make the choices of how to spend it, it's going to be inflationary. I mean, that's fairly rudimentary at this stage of our economic thinking. And so for the White House, which is why the White House has gone out of its way to lie about that issue. It's why it cherry picks, you know, what some economists say and what era or what period they're talking about, short run versus long run. But it also goes to the heart of the White House claim that it would cost nothing, that there would be no deficit impact. Well, that was disproven, that it would be the answer to inflation. Well, nobody believed that. So on and on and on, all of their claims are kind of ever-evolving, and even the bill itself, the contents, the price, all of that's ever-evolving. But what never changes is the White House claim that it will solve the problems we have. Well, the problems keep changing, the bill keeps changing, but somehow the bill is always this magical elixir that it'll be good for inflation, and I joke in the column, soon we'll hear that it's good for the new COVID variant, too. I mean, this is the universal cure for what ails you. I mean, it's like some kind of snake oil salesman.
It's just horrible. Hey, also in the column you get into, you know, we've got the worst case of racism we've ever seen, which is in Waukesha with this Daryl Brooks, who was obviously trying to kill white people. He's talked about how much he hates white people. He's used his car as a weapon before. If you look at the situation, he didn't just hit somebody, and that was, he kept going for blocks, hitting more and more people. Why aren't we hearing from the media about this racism?
Well, this is rather extraordinary, and I didn't believe it when I saw it myself, Mark. I was looking, you know, on Twitter, and people saying how, you know, the left has thrown this murder by car down the memory hole already. And, you know, you look at it, and CNN had something the other day about a car killings or something. It was almost as though the car drove itself. I mean, it's a parade accident. It's some kind of a parade a rampage, without ever talking about the person who drove that car and committed that rampage, and according to eyewitnesses, swerved the car repeatedly to hit as many people as possible. Now, why won't the media talk about it? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. It's not a white supremacist. It's not Kyle Rittenhouse revenge. It is a black man who hates whites, who has praised Hitler, and is a career criminal. This does not, and even let out on bail, on very low bail, on an earlier charge. And so there's too much for the media to defend in this story. Too many of their narratives get caught up in this. And so what do? They ignore the story. If it doesn't fit, they don't run it. I mean, it is an amazing time in the American media. And I sometimes get tired hearing myself say it, Mark.
Yeah.
But we've never seen anything like this, where you cannot trust the simplest thing from the major media outlets. That everything, their thumb is on every scale. They play nothing straight. And so whether it's inflation is good for you, whether a car committed murder in Wisconsin, whether Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist, whether there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden's cognitive faculties, Kamala Harris is quite popular and brilliant. I mean, all of these things that they've told us simply aren't true, and yet they keep saying it, and there's no real repercussions. Although I did hear some good news the other day. Apparently the New York Times readership, the online readership, has declined precipitously.
Really?
So apparently they don't have Donald Trump to kick around anymore, and nobody cares what they have to say.
Oh, that's good. Michael Goodwin, speaking of lying, Andrew Cuomo, there's a movement, I don't know how big it's getting, to get the Cuomo name off the Tappan Zee Bridge. What do you think?
By all means. had it been put there in a normal way, had there been some sort of public acclaim for this, even public support, but Cuomo rammed it through in a peculiar fashion. And then celebrated it, drove a car that FDR had used at one point, and as though it was some great thing, and how he looks at that bridge and he thinks of all the wonderful things his father did. And I don't want to smear Mario Cuomo with Andrew's sins, but nonetheless, I think the process that led to that was another reminder of the kind of dirty governor Andrew Cuomo was. And so I think everything he did is subject to looking at it. And you know, Mark, when I say everything, I mean everything. I mean, look at the Second Avenue subway. I mean, all of the issues with the cost overruns and everything. Cuomo fancied himself this great builder, but there was a massive waste and overrun in every one of his projects. And now the MTA is saddled with that debt. The city and the state are saddled with different kinds of issues that Cuomo did not see, it seems to me, not for any reason other than his own self-aggrandizement. And so when Kathy Hochul, runs out to the barricades on this new virus variant and acts like she's Andrew Cuomo shutting things down right away, I'm thinking, wait a minute, didn't we learn anything about that guy? Didn't he create a kind of toxic environment with everything he did, trying to act tough all the time, trying to show that, remember those highway signs, New York tough and all of that? I mean, this is a guy who resigned rather than fight accusations that he said were false. Well, if you really think they're false, wouldn't you fight them? So his whole career was a lie at the end. And I think that we all have to keep that in mind and reassess everything he did, including the Tappan Zee Bridge name.
Yeah. And he overdid it with the signs. It doesn't say Mario Cuomo Bridge. Every sign is the Honorable Mario M. Cuomo Bridge. The sign is like 15 feet wide.
And they cost a lot of money. It cost a lot of money. I mean, it's remarkable. And the Tappan Zee, I mean, it's everybody. It's still the Tappan Zee as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the Triborough is still the Triborough, right? 59th Street Bridge, still the 59th Street Bridge. Does anybody call them the Ed Koch Bridge or the Robert Kennedy Bridge? Only the politicians.
Good point. And read Michael Goodwin's column from yesterday. Just go to the New York Post website. Read all of his columns. It's every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post. Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Take care. And check out the webpage. A lot of great stuff up there from the holiday weekend. You want to see the very first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Look at what the balloons look like in the first one. It was very primitive. Also, watch what a modern digital Thanksgiving looks like. Take a look at the problem with fruitcake, why you shouldn't send it to anybody. Also, Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal celebrate Thanksgiving. Take a look at that. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.